Because of the smallness, we are incapable. Because of incapacity, we have got desires. There is this chain. Because of our smallness, smallness of formation, we have got some kind of incapacity. All of us have incapacities. That is because we are small. Because of incapacity, we have desire. Why? Because we don't want to gain incapacity. I want to be capable. And therefore there is a desire to increase my capacities. Now, because of desire, I go on, moving on and on and on. But how far? A point comes when you really feel exhausted, because your basic incapacities remain. You cannot completely overcome your incapacities so quickly. To the extent to which you can go on increasing your capacities, you can live. Then you need to change the circumstance. How will you change the circumstance? That is why the law of death has been introduced. Normally, a time comes in our life when we need to change the circumstance. And that is a very difficult task. Normally, we remain in the same circumstances. We go on learning, studying, increasing our capacities. Then a time comes when you need to increase your capacities, but you can increase only when the circumstance changes. Now even that is possible, circumstance can be changed also. But in a very limited way. A time comes when you feel that my circumstance should be radically changed. Supposing I am sent now to a place, let us say I am jailed. So I remain in a small cell. I will have no possibility of talking to you. And my capacities can develop only if I meet you. And I am kept in a jail, I am not allowed to meet you. I do my greatest effort even to write letters to you, communicate with you. But that satisfaction I don't get, which I can get by talking to you directly, face to face. And I want to do it. And I know my capacities themselves will develop if I can talk to you, if I can meet you. If I know this, then what will happen? I will have to pass away from that jail. How can I pass away from that jail? Of course, I can break the jail, that is one possibility, but supposing that possibility does not exist then death intervenes. There must be death. I'm only giving one example of the circumstance in which you are obliged to change the circumstance radically. Actually, if you study anybody's example of death, you can be sure that this is the reason. The need to expand is felt very deeply on the one hand. On the other hand, the circumstance is so rigid that need cannot be fulfilled in that circumstance. It is at that stage that there is an inner decision to leave that body and to come out of it and change the circumstance and then enter into a circumstance in which your need can be fulfilled. That is why, this is the answer, true answer, why should we die? All right? Have I explained to you, or any further question on this? Right? First, we must die because the process of the fulfillment of the contract we have done is very long. And we are limited. And therefore we cannot have so much of strength within ourselves to go on and on until the contract is fulfilled. We get dissolved in the meantime. That is a necessity of dissolution. And secondly, I gave a deeper answer, that when you really feel that a given circumstance has got to be radically changed, which normally you cannot change, you cannot make a flight from here to another circumstance. If you can make a flight, if you can take a plane and do that change of circumstance, death will not come. But if you cannot do that, if that is not possible, then death becomes inevitable. This is the reason why death and birth, death and rebirth are inevitable until you reach the point when you can say, now I have fulfilled whatever role I had to play in the building of the temple of the divine, I have done it. Then the law of death does not intervene. You are not obliged to be reborn. You go out of sambhava, that is the word in Ishopanishad, sambhuti and asambhuti. Sambhuti means a process of birth and death. Asambhuti is to come out of the entire process of death and birth. All right? How do you build the will? For every student and for every teacher, this should be the most important question. How do you build the will? Yesterday I explained to you the distinction between desire and will. Desire is a state in which you are inclined, you feel an urge to move forward, to grasp something from outside, to receive something from outside. Something that you don't have, you want to possess. There are many kinds of desires. Will is a condition in which you have within you the fullness. You don't need anything to come from outside. You are full. But in that fullness there's a delight to manifest, to throw out from you and pour out. This movement is a movement of will. There is no desire because there is nothing to grasp from outside. But what you have, you just put forth and enjoy putting forth. All movement of manifestation of delight is a mark of will. But in between the desire and this will, there are many intermediate stages. There is a mixed desire and will. There is some kind of will in you, a little bit of will, in which you find some fullness which is manifesting. But also there is a lot which you don't have and you want to grasp from outside, so it is mixed with it. Therefore, we often don't distinguish between desire and will at all. Very often you say, I want to do it, I want it, I will to do have it. So in our expression also there is not much difference between I desire to do something, I desire to have something, and I will to have it. And most of us are in this intermediate stage. And your question arises at this stage. How can you increase your willpower? So let us grant that we all have some willpower, but mixed with lot of desire. The greater the will element, the stronger is the will. The lesser the element of desire in you, the greater is the will. So one mark is abolition of desire, which is a very difficult task. Normally we are filled with instincts, impulses, wishes of various kinds, desires of various kinds, ambitions of various kinds, attractions and repulsions of various kinds. This is a whole gamut of desire. There are long-standing attractions. An attraction to do something, and you say, even 20 years it takes, I don't mind. I want to achieve that. It's such a big attraction. Somebody wants to become a film star from childhood. And then one says, doesn't matter, 20 years I'll spend in preparing myself, I want to be a famous film star. It's an attraction of a goal. Somebody wants to be a great pilot from childhood. Somebody wants to be a captain in the army. Somebody wants to become a very big doctor. Somebody wants to be a hero. All kinds of desires are there, and long-standing attractions are there. It takes a long time. Even in their case, even though the attractions are great, desires are great, but they will find out very soon that merely desiring does not give you satisfaction of desire. If somebody says, I want to be a great hero, I want to be a great hero, he won't become a hero merely by desiring or merely by saying so. A time comes when he's told, now you sit down yourself, steady yourself, find out what is needed. If you want to be a pilot, what does it mean? You have to study a lot of physics, lot of science, many other sciences. You have to be a good engineer. You have to learn the mechanics of aeroplane. Now all this cannot be done as long as you go on constantly saying, I want to be, I want to be, I want to be. A point comes when you say, stop now desiring. There is a very interesting theory which is called paradox of desire. Desire cannot be fulfilled unless desire is lost. That is the paradox. If you want to fulfill a desire, a point must come in your movement when desire is lost. And you get to the work that is to be done, and when you really do the work, at that time you have to be very steady. At that stage of steadiness, there is will. You just steadfastly, you don't desire, you bring out from yourself something that is there in you, manifested.